We started last week with a lesson called We the People. So this is We the People part two. And it probably doesn't maybe sound as churchy as what maybe a typical Sunday morning sermon might be, but you remember where we were last week and maybe the purpose of the church and wondering. And I really think so that the Lord, I mean, you think how much blessing God has given the American people, the American church. I mean, why is it? I mean, you know, we were up there yesterday looking around at some stuff, and I look at all the little doodads, what do you call them, whatnots. And, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands. And I think to myself, how much extra stuff that the American people has. I mean, we're blessed in so many ways. I mean, you know, we go to the refrigerator and we think, what do we want to eat? Not this is all we got, or we don't have anything. I mean, we got so many choices, and inside of all of that, why has God chosen us? Has He chosen us, especially the American church, to stand against the evils and deceptions of this present darkness? I mean, Paul wrote about this present evil world. If He has chosen us, don't you think? I mean, we read last week, make your calling, or about this vocation. If we have been, don't you think it would that we should do all that we can do? You know, the scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it how? Halfway. Do it with all your might. So I'm going to touch on some of the issues that we are facing in America. Some things that we're not supposed to talk about, and why that we're not supposed to talk about them. You know, we're not supposed to do any of these things. But I mean, what is the church for? I mean, what if you're the salt of the earth? The salt. I mean, when you eat, you have to put the salt on the meat, right? I mean, you just can't say, well, here's salt, it stays over here in its shaker, and here's the meats over here. They got to be together for the salt to do any good. To be a light. Because these ideas, these forces are at war with God. Why do you think the scripture says we have peace with God? We have peace with God. That means the others are what? At war with God, because with God there's no neutral ground. You're either for Him or you're against Him. There is no neutral ground. So if people don't care, guess what? You're against God. And I'm just telling you the way it is. You're either for Him or you're against Him. I hope you all believe that. There's no Switzerland with God. Okay? There's no neutral territory. There's no I claim ignorance. I'm going to put my head in the sand. You're either found on God's side, so to speak, or you're found to be warring against Him. I mean, that's... And what I told you we were going to talk about was, what did the German church do in the 1930s? And, you know, last week we did this lesson. You know, my friend Jeff down there, his mother-in-law was a teenager in Germany in the 1930s. Imagine that. First-hand experience. He asked her the question. Is what, and they call me Little Jim, what Little Jim said true? Could the German church have made a stand against Hitler? She said, oh no, he was too powerful. There was nothing we could do. Now think about that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. These mighty prophets that withstood against kings and great and mighty powers, but the church in Germany had become so weak in their own mind, they said, we can do nothing. We could do nothing. And I want to tell you one of the things about what is the greatest power in the universe? Well, you say it's God, but what kind of power does God have that overcomes all these things? What is he? God is love. So that tells me the German church that had no power was lacking in what? Love. Because perfect love casts out how much fear? All fear. All fear. But see, what were they? They were afraid. So that tells me when you're afraid, we're lacking something here. We're lacking in confidence. We don't know. Because the doctrine that's in the church is what? What is the doctrine that is in the church? You're no good. You're nothing. You're unworthy. I wrote some numbers down here to kind of wrap our head around it, because, you know, I told you about the German church. There was two denominations. There was Lutheran and there was Catholic over there. And they did nothing in the face of all of that stuff. And, you know, they had the death camps, the murder of millions. They claimed Hitler killed 6 million Jews and another 5 million POWs. That's 11 million people. Joseph Stalin, y'all know who Joseph Stalin is, claimed to have killed 20 million people at his death. Mao from China, you know, the one Richard Nixon met, was claimed to have killed 40 to 80 million of his own country. 40 to 80 million. How many millions have I called out here? What did Jesus say? I come that you might have death camps. I come that you might have disease and poverty. Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and that more abundant. In America, so far, the last numbers I got, 63.6 million abortions. So we would think, oh, Hitler's terrible. We've killed more people in America than Hitler did. You ever think about that? And do you know that it's actually increased by 8% after a 30-year decline? It increased 8% in 2020. I wonder what happened in 2020. Stolen election? I mean, election? New president, maybe? I mean, you understand here. I mean, this is... I even wrote this down because I would just... The top 10 states for abortion in the United States. Connecticut's number 10. Michigan, number 9. Nevada, number 8. And if you think these are all Democrat states, you're wrong. Nevada's got a Republican governor. Georgia, Republican governor. They're number 7. California, they're number 6. Florida, they're number 5. Another Republican governor. Illinois, Democrat. Maryland, New York, and the worst state is New Jersey. I just want to throw them numbers out there for you so that you would have that. Now back to the German church in the 1930s, they understand that in the beginning they didn't have any idea where all that was leading to. They had no idea that they were facing the forces of Antichrist. You know, you say those words out there and it's tough, but they really were Antichrist. They were facing that very thing. Guys, I'm telling you, it's the same thing we are facing today in our nation, in our land. And most of the time, they just want you to be quiet. But the thing is, we're facing those same forces that puts on different disguises. But it's even worse than it was 90 years ago, because those forces that we're facing today don't have the agenda that the Nazis did. You know what the Nazis' agenda was? They wanted to wipe out all other races and have the perfect race. They did. They're a white Aryan nation. That's what they did. But now we face a new Antichrist. They're called the globalist. I don't know if you, Klaus Schwab and these people, they have a globalist agenda. Do you understand what that means? What that means is, and I know you're thinking, why is it, we're supposed to be preaching the gospel. I'm telling you what we're facing today. Because their whole agenda is they know they can't have globalism unless they bring down America. Because America's too strong, and guess what? All you people own guns. And they need those done away with, and they need America on its knees so that they can have a class system of the rich and the elite, and everybody else, beggars and slaves to the state or to that. I mean, these are great forces. I mean, Paul spoke of these forces that we face. And this is exactly what the church is facing. And most of the people in the church don't want to face it. They don't want to face what we're up against. And I'm just going to throw this out there, guys. Always picking on Jake over there, but I want you to understand something too. I'm very, very proud of Jake because Jake is serving his country even as we speak. And that's awesome. It's awesome. And I'll tell you one thing that I don't want to see. I don't want to see young men and young women sacrificed on the battlefield in needless wars. We don't need that. And that's what's happening all around. I mean, how many millions did we see? And all of this is stupidity. It's ignorance. These people are cannon fodder that are being killed. But you know what? The American mindset is, as long as it happens somewhere else, then I'm not responsible. You know, as long as it takes place somewhere else. And you know, many, many times people, I mean, think of the bill of goods that people get sold. I mean, and I know being a young man, you know, and joining the Marine Corps and after boot camp, you're ready to go to war. I bet Tim, when he, was in the Air Force in Vietnam, he was ready. But then you look back and you think, how many people died needlessly? Why were we even there? How many people's lives and families was destroyed for what? I got to ask you the question, did we win Vietnam? 55,000 dead. How many other families ruined from Vietnam? And we didn't even, what did we accomplish? What did we accomplish in 20 years in Afghanistan? The most humiliating exit known to man. And you know what's going on in Ukraine? Well, right now, it's just background noise to you, ain't it? Remember, it used to be all over the news, is it now? No. We're going to send another $100 billion. We're going to send another $500 million. For what? It's just background noise. The Afghanistan war went on 20 years. How long do you think this is going to go on? How many millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people are going to die? Do we need to read out more? 60 million, 80 million, 63 million, 11 million. How many more people? Well, they're just numbers on the page. We're the American church. Hey, sing another song. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. And he's given us this power. The voice to be able to speak out. These ideas have been going on in our society for years and years. And we haven't taken them very seriously. I mean, who cares? Let me ask you a question. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Did you realize the impact when they took prayer out of the church that it would have in our school system, or prayer out of the schools that it would have in our school systems today? Could anybody have seen that 50, 60 years ago? I mean, we face, and you know, most people there, you know, just really don't care. We face Marxist ideologies. They do this stuff with stealth. You know what CRT is? Do you know, in the military, I bet they did in the Air Force, I'm sure they did in the Army and National Guard. I mean, you learn history. That's part of basic training, is we learned a lot of history. And you know, part of the history we learned about was heroes. You know what a hero is? Well, you think, well, that's the word problem. Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 11? It's the hall of fame of faith. He begins to talk about Abel and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Moses and Gideon and Barak and all of these people that were heroes, Isaiah, Song of Sunder, heroes of faith. And you know what they want to do? They want to take the heroes out. We don't want any heroes. Let's take the statues down. Let's take everything down and do away with it so that you have nothing. No point of reference, nothing at all. But you know what? We don't see the dangers of it. But God himself said, write it in a book. Read it to the people. Tell them about Abraham. Tell them about Abraham's faith. Tell them about Moses, how Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Was that politics? They were in slavery. I mean, do you understand what I'm talking about? What David was up against. What Isaiah was up against, what Hezekiah was up against, what we now are up against if we were open our eyes and see. Paul says, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. How many... You know, and we've talked about this before. You know, in Canada, you can go to the doctor and get these pills to commit suicide with. You can just go to the doctor and your knee's messed up. And instead of waiting 6 months to get into their free healthcare system, they'll just give you a pill and you can die. And they've got TV commercials about it. And you know what? They even want to do it to teenagers because, you know, a 15-year-old and his girlfriend broke up with him and life is horrible. And now he might as well kill himself. And here's a pill. And so where's the church in Canada? There's one church pastor up there in Canada that's withstood in the face of the lockdowns and everything. How many times has that guy been thrown in jail? I say, God bless that man. Y'all know who I'm talking about. This should be more like that guy. He's a warrior. I don't know what his doctrine is. I got no idea, but I know he stands firm in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he meets out and he stands in the face of this stuff. What about how many little girls, 12 years old, decide they want to be a little boy and they have mastectomies? Is that horrible? And you know, the Russians now say, look what America's doing. They are mutilating their own children. What do you think Abraham Lincoln and George Washington would think if they could see that we're taking little boys and little girls and changing their gender and judges that are saying, yes, we need to give them hormones. And what is the church? See, we took prayer out of the schools. And now we have child mutilation going on in schools and it's legal. And they want to make it so you as a mom and moms and grandmas can't say squat about it. And if you do, we'll throw you in jail. But what does the church do? Oh, let's don't talk about it. We don't want to talk. Get us out of here. I mean, I say, is America supposed to be a force for good? I mean, we are. If the salt has lost its savor, amen. What good is it? What good is it? I mean, if America with our technology is supposed to be a force for spreading the gospel throughout the world, and these crazy ideas have infiltrated our own culture so that they touch everything. And what makes them so wicked, they come across as having biblical principles, biblical values. You know what's worse than a barefaced lie? Truth mixed with lie. Half truth. That's way worse because, you know, an outright lie, and you just laugh at it. But let's mix it. And you don't know. You don't know. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mao would butcher millions in the name of fighting for the people. They said, we're for the people. Those same forces are trying to do the same thing today, right now. And if we allow them time to strengthen themselves, you know, that's, you know, a house divided cannot stand. Any military leader knows when the enemy is weak, boom, that's when you hit them the hardest. But when you set back and allow, and you know what we've done for the last, I will say, 70 years, because this goes back to the late 50s, is when it really began to pick up steam. When it got into the 60s, man, it's been way down since. And now that we are really, really in a pickle, we're really facing the Goliaths of our day. I mean, we really and truly are. If we don't fight against them with all of our might, now, what's the consequences of it? What's the consequences of the next generation behind the one that's in Congress now when these young men and young women are in office? What's it going to be? And you know, some people don't care. Well, I'll be dead and gone. Who cares? I'm always of the premise, leave it better than you found it. You know what I mean? Do you kind of think that way? You know, at work, you want to leave it better than you found it. You want to leave the church better than you found it. One of the principal ways that they've gained strength in persuading so many of the American church that to fight them, to stand against them, is to abandon the gospel for culture war or for politics. And I know, I mean, because I'm going to challenge y'all. I mean, what is the kingdom? Is the kingdom not a government? Is the kingdom not a culture? So we got two rival cultures here. The culture of God versus the culture of evil. We got two cultures right here. And culture infiltrates everything, does it not? And I told you, and this is the conclusion of the matter with the church. The church preaches rapture. They preach poor little you, and they're just burying their head in the sand. I mean, why worry about tomorrow? We're out of here. So they put on concerts every week and play the music louder and louder and louder with smoke and incense and do all that to drown out the cries of the people headed off to their deaths. Sing with us, they say, and don't concern yourselves with all those other issues out there. Our job is to focus on God. Pretend we can do so without fighting for those he loves, whose lives and futures are being destroyed. Here's the question. Who in the world does God love? Everyone. Okay, here's a question I'd ask. Who in the world does God hate? So if God loves the world, I mean, do you think God is rejoicing over these people right now? Do you think God is rejoicing? Do you think God is, I'm just characterizing here, is up in heaven saying, whoo, I thank God I messed up and put that little boy in that 12-year-old's body. And thank God modern science is going to fix the problem. Hallelujah. Great for modern science. I messed up. Do you think God is doing that? I mean, do you think God is up there saying, "Whoo, boy, man, I messed up again. I put a little girl in a boy's body, and now I've got to get it right, and science is going to do that." Now, that's ludicrous, isn't it? But that's the doctrine that's being preached out there. And our government says, this is right. God messed up. But if we get back to the gospel and we say that his hands, his fingers has formed us in the womb, then what's our only conclusion? He did not mess up. He did not mess up. Let me read you a verse here. You got to have a verse. If you're going to go to church, you got to have a verse. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read verse 15 through 20. I know this is Deuteronomy. This is the second giving of the law. That's what Deuteronomy means. Second giving of the law. Remember, they got the law the first time. Moses broke the tablets on the golden calf. And Moses goes back up the law. And this has spiritual significance to us because, and I know we say, well, we're not under the law, but this law is pointing to something, okay? It's showing us something of the character of God. Now listen to this. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Do y'all believe that? I mean, is that true at this very moment that before us is life and good and death and evil? Is that true? In that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Golly, this is God talking to Moses. Now, listen to this statement again. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou go to possess it. To possess land. You're going to possess land. You know what that means? That means you're a landowner, Joe. That means God was putting in the principle of capitalism. He was going to make you an owner. You didn't know that you owning your land and your house was part of God's economy. Now, I know it's bigger than that, but he said, look, you're going to go in and what do you think the term Lord is? Lord is owner. King of kings, Lord of lords, owners. What do the globalists want? What's the saying? You will own nothing and be happy. What's that doing? That is right in the face of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to get this. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Right here, I'm going to tell you who the other gods are. Now, Paul would say it this way, the gods of this world has blinded their mind, the prince of the power of the air. Let me tell you who the other gods are. The other gods, and I would like to have 20 hours to tell you this and explain it to you. It's called statism. Statism is the god of the government. The government controls everything, and people worship and serve. Why do you think, he talked about idols, you either worship or serve the Lord, or you're worshiping and serving other gods and idols. Remember, there's no middle ground here. So the statism has become these other gods. I want you to understand that here in our society today, what they're talking about. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall perish. Now listen, I got to make this clear here. Why did God say that? Is this God's judgment? You can say that if you want, but I mean, what does this really mean? What God is telling them, just like with Adam and Eve in the garden, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. One God said, I'm tell you what, you do it, I'm going to kill you. God is saying right here through Moses, just like he's saying in the garden, if you do that, this will be the result. Okay, it's the same thing if you turn the stove on and the eye's hot, and I say, if you put your face on a red hot eye, thou shalt burn thy facest. Right? That's not me punishing you. That's the result. So what he's saying here is if you turn away, this will be the result. So America, the American church, if we continue to turn away, it's not God's wrath and judgment. Well, it is, but not in the sense that you see it. This will be the result. You will perish. You will be the Roman Empire. Where's the Roman Empire? Where's the Ottoman Empire? I mean, where are they? They're gone. They're in history books. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. See, all the way back in the old covenant, he was saying, he is you. He doesn't give you life. He is it. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So we got to ask, if God is real and God created the universe and created us, I mean, you know, most in the church don't believe that. When I say that, and you say, no, listen, there's a theology out there that is prevalent that don't believe in the 6 days of creation. And it's in the church. Because you know what they say? They say creation and formation. So they take the 6 days of creation and divide it up into 6 million years of formation, and then we still come from monkeys. So they merge science and the scriptures together so that they can say, well, look, that rock is 5 million years old. Listen, they can use all the carbon dating they want, and we'll go into this lesson sometime. Their carbon dating is wrong. I'm just telling you, they're wrong. The Grand Canyon, I just want to tell you this. You know how the Grand Canyon got here? Let me tell you how long it took God to form the Grand Canyon. About 120 days. And he did it during the flood. Because before that time, everything was flat. And when God busted up the fountains of the deep, and the water came on and it flooded the whole earth, behold, the Grand Canyon, and the planets broke up, and all that other stuff took place. And so, and the reason their dating is wrong is because the mighty forces, the geological forces that make diamonds, made these things. And it looks like those millions of years. I'm telling you what, God did it in 120 days. Now, we Christians, we believe that. But you see, a lot don't. So if we don't believe in creation, maybe you did come from a monkey. Is that not stupid? But it's in the church because we don't want to stand against science. Oh my God, I mean, what did God say? I mean, if you believe it. Now, if God did all that, if he created the universe, I mean, we were out there looking the other day at Jupiter over here. Do you believe God made Jupiter? It's a dumb question, yeah. And he sent his son to die and to rise again. Why? So that we might have relationship with him now, in the now, and for all eternity. There can't be any more important question than what is the church? What is the church? What does it mean for those of us who would say we are Christians? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? I mean, what is the church that God calls his bride? Some might say the church is a movement or an institution, but that's not God's ideal about the church. The real question And the more to the point question, when is the church actually being the church instead of only a name? When is the church actually being the church? What is the function of the church? In the Old Testament, God sent prophets to the people of God, which at that time was Israel. What did the prophets go tell the people of Israel? Y'all need to start actually being the people of God. I mean, to put it in a nutshell. You remember when you was a little kid and you were sitting and one of your mom and dad say, quit acting like that. What does that mean? You're not being who you're supposed to be. You know, I always think of Jerry Clower and one of them, they thought it was a log truck. Who was that? One of them thought it was a log truck. Clovis, yeah. Clovis always thought it was a log truck, you know. And we laugh about it. Well, and we think, why do little girls and little boys think they're cats? In our schools and want litter boxes in the bathroom. Now, what is that? I mean, you would just want to shake your head and you think, well, this is crazy. Where does this come from? Listen, when the house is empty, what happened? What's the scripture say? It takes seven more worse than the first coming in. When the house has been swept clean and garnished and it's not filled with what? Not filled with the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, not filled with his revelation and knowledge, then it takes in seven others worse. Could you imagine? I mean, I could just think what fun we'd have had back in our day going to school if some dude thought he was a kitty cat. Yeah. What fun that would have been. It wouldn't have lasted long. But today they have meetings to decide what to do. Now see, this is what happens when you get away from the very foundation of the Bible itself, the very creation of God himself. And the church says, oh, well, you know, we're out of here. Who cares? God, in the Old Testament, he sent prophets to tell the people of God to be the people of God. And in the last 2,000 years, God has sent figures into his church to do the same thing. To actually be the church. Now, I know there are many that get labeled prophets because they come up and they say, oh, thus and thou shalt be a great singer. No, that's not it. Those kind of people make a lot of money. The real prophets get the same kind of adoration that the prophets of old did. We don't want to hear from him. All he ever speaks is negative. You go ask Elijah. Oh, you got another one? We don't want to hear from Elijah. No, we don't want to. We don't want to hear from him. No. What did Elijah say? If you go into war, you'll die. That's what he said. I want somebody to tell me what I want to hear. And, you know, there is no difference. There is no difference. Then these lying prophets, and the scripture calls them lying prophets, than it is for you to go downtown and sit in front of somebody reading a crystal ball, looking at the palm of your hand, saying, you're going to come into a bunch of money. Ah, fantastic. But they do this in the church. I mean, think about the prophet that comes to Hezekiah and says, hey, guess what, Hezekiah, got good news for you. Greatest news you ever heard. Get your house in order. You're about to die. Oh. Can we got another prophet? And we got another one? There was a man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I know you probably, all of you guys have heard of him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Have you ever heard of him? You've heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Good. He was one of those voices. He called the German church to actually be the church in their time. And his voice to them is his voice to us today, to the American church. All that entails that we might avoid the same mistakes that they made. You know, I like to give you these stats. Did you know, and because we got to go through these things, because these things just didn't happen overnight. Do you know at one time there was over 50, in the 90s, there was over 50 national syndicated major news outlets. You had at least 50 options to get your news. Who was a two-term president in the 90s? Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. At the time, I want you to understand, at the time, if you was to thank Republicans and Democrats, what would you think? Republicans are for the rich, Democrats are for the poor. That was kind of the mindset of politics. Bill Clinton knew if the Democrats were going to stay in power, he had to change that narrative. So he brought in huge corporate money for the first time in the Democratic Party. Huge corporate money. And he changed the laws with the FCC and SEC. And because of the change of the laws, now you have, we went from 50 to 4 media outlets, and the Democrats own 3 of them. Now, what do you think about that? So if I can control the stream of information that comes to you, then I can control you. Now, you see, it's like, well, we're not supposed to talk about that. We're at church. See, these are the subtleties. Paul warned of the subtleties of the devil that would beguile you and take you away from what it is. But these things happen, and they're gone away, so they get 3 of them. And I don't know if you know this. The fourth one was Fox, and they just turned their back on Donald Trump. He's on the outs because they don't want him. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. They just turned their back on Trump. They don't want Trump anymore. So he doesn't even have a media outlet. Isn't it amazing what corporate money can do? Guys, what God asks of his people is that they actually live out their faith in all spheres of their life so that all society is blessed. When they fail to do so, they're failing to be the church. Because what is the purpose of the church? You know, I've been watching this argument with these guys. I haven't participated. I just watched. This argument over predestination and this Calvinism. And, you know, in Calvinism, it basically says God predestined some to go to heaven and God predestined some to go to hell. I'm telling you, out of Calvinism came the Free Will Baptist. So there's always something, so free will. And so people begin to argue these points. And I say, what are you guys doing? You're missing the point of all points. What does it mean to be the church? All the way back in Genesis. Abraham, get out of the land and go to the land that I'll show you. For what reason? And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. You are a blessing bearer to the world. Blessing bearer. You know, I've set before you death and life. You're bearers of the blessing. So if the blessing is not getting to the world, whose fault is it? It's our fault. I mean, you know, God gave you this, the Holy Spirit, and said, here, go. And what's the church say? Oh, well, heck, that's too much. Let's just build a building and let's hide out in the building. And let's talk about the world out there and how bad it is. But let's do nothing about the world out there and how bad it is. The world is only going to get worse and worse and worse and worse unless what? The church does something about it. Now, I know it's hard for people to believe this very thing. They cannot believe, well, what power do we have? My God, what have we been talking about for 10 years? What do you mean, what power do we have? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the same Spirit in you that Jesus had in him when he walked the face of the earth. That's what you have. He had the Spirit to walk on the water. I mean, do you really believe he walked on the water or was they making that up? He walked on the water and a big storm come and he said, peace be still. Do you believe he really did that? He was the prototype son. This is the way that all God's sons and daughters are supposed to be, to bring the kingdom into the world, to usher the kingdom into the world so that the lion lays down with the lamb. Do y'all really believe that? The Spirit of peace. What did he say? My peace. You remember what Jesus said? My peace, I'm taking it with me and I'm out of here. What did he say? My peace I leave with you. Now labor to enter into that rest, into that peace. We have peace with God. So when we don't have peace, when we have war and all of these things, what is happening? This is the time for the church to rise and shine and claim territory. Claim territory. I don't know if you believe that. Claim territory. Remember, where the soever the foot touches, Joshua, that I've given it to you. Claim the territory. I mean, do you believe this, that Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do you believe that? The kingdom. To give you the kingdom. So when we ask, what is the church? What is the church today? Consider what the church is today. We should first admit that the church has retreated. The church has retreated. Drawn back from public life. Instead of taking the church out into the world and blessing the world, it shrunk back into its religious sphere where it's supposed to be, right? You're supposed to be at the church. In this, you're not supposed to bring the church into the world. You know, this is kind of the way I brought up. You know, they said, "Oh, Brother Jim, don't cast your pearl before the swine." Yeah, I mean, that's the way I was kind of growing up. You know, we don't preach to them heathen people. The God has made them heathen people, and we don't. No, they're just swine. I mean, they're dogs that have returned their own vomit. We don't preach to them. We're a holy. Well, now, what does that sound like? Bunch of stinking Pharisees, don't it? I mean, I could hear Jesus say, "Well, I wasn't sent to the lepers. Get your stinking hands off me. I'm too holy for you to touch. I ain't touching an old dirty leper. Crazy old adulterous woman. Caught in the very act, she deserves to die. I ain't touching her. You Pharisees are right. Let's get some big rocks." But when Jesus did the things that he did, what happened? "We can't have this man doing these things. Oh my God, he's taking our religion plumb out of whack. I mean, we got to crucify this guy. This ain't the way it's supposed to be." How does Christian, you guys ever watch TV? Now, I'm not talking Christian TV, but regular TV or a movie. What do you see when you see Christians in a movie? They're weirdos, fanatical weirdos that are almost, I mean, am I not telling you the truth? Catholic priests and all of, they're all weirdos. So when the world is looking through their eyes and they see the church, what do they see? Oh, they're a bunch of weird people. Oh my God, they're weird. Or there's just a whole bunch of country hicks that don't know nothing, ain't got no teeth, and they believe in the God up in heaven. And you know, they're crazy. They don't know nothing about the modern technology and the great scientists of the world. They believe in faith. That's the way Hollywood plays it, isn't it? Yeah. So they're out there in the world getting their little 12-year-old daughters mutilated by doctors and giving the little boys hormone pills and all this other stuff, calling us crazy. And what's the church done about it? Nothing. I mean, and what's the church? Well, we don't want to be criticized. We don't want to be stoned. We don't want to be burned at the stake. We don't want to get involved in these culture wars. So we retreat to our little places. And then we say, and there's what some say, "Oh, Brother Jim, you can't say that. Just preach the gospel." What the heck is the gospel? To the gospel, if they put it on the church sign, "Oh, you better be saved. You're going to go to hell. You're going to spend eternity in hell." What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. Hey, listen, guys, you've been in darkness. Jesus has died and rose again. There's life available here. There's sanity available here. There's peace available here. Reconciliation with God. I mean, there's good news. "Oh, well, I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace." Take that in your bumper sticker and go away. That's crazy. That is crazy. And this is the doctrine that's came into the church. But how? Jake is currently in the military. And let's just say that Jake is fixing to go to war. They're getting ready to go to war. And Jake gets the platoon ready and the battalion is ready. And 98% of the battalion says, "We ain't ready. We ain't worthy to go to war. Just somebody pray for me. I had a bad day yesterday, Jake. I stubbed my toe in the kitchen, on the kitchen counter. I can't. I'm no good." Jake would give that same look. Like, what are you talking? We're soldiers, right? It's time to go. Get your weapon. And you think, well, you can't talk about weapons. Did Paul not talk about weapons? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Get your weapons, stop worrying about your stubbed toe, and let's go to battle. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? There's a war being raged right now. I mean, you know, Joshua, he didn't even see it till this Lord of Hosts shows up. And what did the Lord of Hosts do? You know, Joshua rushes out and says, "By God, whose side are you on? Are you for us or against us?" And he says, "Let me tell you something, Joshua. I want you to understand this straight. Nay is on the side of the Lord of Hosts." That's whose side. The church has retreated. The gospel is supposed to touch every area of life. Every area. Do you know that we should have Christian artists? I mean, making paintings. I love to look at paintings. We should have Christian music. We should have Christian movies. If we're going to have TV, it should be Christian. Do you guys remember the days when I grew up, Little House on the Prairie? Little House on the Prairie, how was that? He was a strong man of faith, and he went through battles of faith, right? You can't show TV shows like that anymore, can you? Because they might accidentally inspire you. So now it's all about murder. It's who killed who. Who's the big murderer? Who's the murderer? You know. Just crazy stuff. Crazy. There was a book that came out in 2010, "To Change the World," by sociologist James Davison Hunter. And he became the voice of this approach he referred to as faithful presence. And for many, this came to mean that we in the church ought not to be too bold about what we believe and proclaim. Maybe it would be wiser to just be a quiet Christian in the corner and not be actively engaged in the world around us. And you know what, guys, I'm not pointing the finger here because I've done this. I've done the very same thing. In the times when I've known that I should have opened my mouth, but I knew there was a great possibility of ridicule, what did I do? Cowered in the corner. Cowered in the corner. And you got to think, is there any situation? Now, I mean, God is God and God is sovereign. Is there any situation you're in that God hasn't allowed you to be in that situation for that particular moment in that time? Is there? Is this an accident? Is God saying, "Where is Denise? Where is Denise? Oh, she's over. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go help Denise out." Right? So if there's any situation that we're in, we're there for a purpose. Right? Why? To be a blessing into that situation. You wonder why crazy people come into your life? Maybe you're the crazy people that goes in other people's lives, you know? But why is that? Do you think God looks at you as his body, his royal priesthood, the blessing bearer, and wants you to bless them so that they might be blessed? But what does the church say? Get them away. The church preaches, separate from them, get away from them, get away from them, get away from them. The church just gives up ground. I mean, Can you put God, who is truth, in a corner? Can you put him in a box? I mean, y'all remember, and I'll tell you this, for many, it's not understanding even our very Constitution. I mean, how easy was it when they come out? I mean, think of the propaganda. You remember a year or so ago, it's COVID, right? And you know, when you mention the word COVID on Facebook, on YouTube, why is that? But you remember what was happening every single day? Every single day when you turned on the news, how many died? Death counts rolling. Why? Because if I can get you scared enough, I can control your every whim. And what did they do? Oh, churches ought not gather. Now, what did, you know what most of the churches did in this area? They closed down. Thank God we didn't. Thank God the Lord gave us a strong word and we kept coming. And you know what a lot of them did? They did this radio thing and they said, hey, we'll have parking lot church and y'all can, like a drive-in theater, we'll be in here and we'll broadcast it out there on the radio to you. And you can sit and listen to it, right? Don't gather yourself, you know. And people thought this was great. But you know what they did? They bowed down to the fear. Bottom line is they bowed down to fear. Now, we look at it and we say, okay, how many of us in here has had the COVID? A whole bunch of us. Some of us more than once. Are we still here? I wonder why that is. We're still here. You know, we're still here. Not bound down to the fear. Not bound down to this nonsense. You know, I mean, some of it is just really stupid, isn't it? I mean, here's a question. You know, we get posed with this. Do you know that we have spent, I think, $120 billion. In Ukraine. I know over 100 million, they got a whole lot more, billion in Ukraine. Do you know with that amount of money, everybody in the United States would have free health care? You think about that? I heard a guy say this the other day, that was enough money to get rid of the homeless problem, cause the homeless problem, and get rid of it again. Now, in Jesus' economy, in the kingdom, does he believe in universal health care? I mean, we got to think about that. Does Jesus believe in universal health care? I mean, how does his health care work? Does Jesus say, y'all better take up another offering because my health care system is about to go broke? What was his health care system? Let them call for the elders. If there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders. They shall lay hands on them, right? They shall anoint them with oil. And they shall recover. Now, that's a healthcare system that doesn't cost anything. Well, it did cost. I hope the church believes that we're supposed to be involved. You know, Jeff had mentioned this one time, but it's really true. And my uncle Herschel, he, you know, brings it to my attention more and more. I tell Zach and him, and I want you to think about these. These are things that we got to be aware of. If you knew that I was selling glasses, okay, I was selling glasses, but that I had 100 slaves making my glasses, and you knew that I had been known to kill a few of them slaves. I beat the pulp out of them. But I got good glasses. Would you buy those glasses off me? Why would you not? In principle, if you know this and you still buy these glasses off of me, just because you want a good pair of glasses, you are actually supporting me in my killing of the slaves I have making these glasses. Now, how much of that is going on in China? Now, how much do you have on that is made with slave labor? But you know what we say in America? It's over there. It's not here. That's why they took the corporations overseas. Because they knew they couldn't do it in front of you. Because American people are so dumb, as long as I don't see it, then it's not happening. Like the little girl in the face of the big old dog. Dog's not there anymore. So if we can control the media outlets, which we do, and we're owned by the big corporations, we can have major slave labor going on, and we can just continue to buy their Nike tennis shoes, and we don't care. We'll support slavery. You know, my uncle, he wants to go up there, and he wants to buy an American-made pocket knife. Everyone he looks at, made in China, made in China, made in China, made in China. Does anybody make anything? I mean, do we make anything anymore? Do we? So it's all made by slave labor, and what do? We support it. But when we say, okay, should the church wise up, but then what's it going to say? Well, it's going to cost us too much. It's going to cost us too much to do these things because we're so hooked on sugar. We're hooked on cheap prices. We're hooked on I ain't got enough time that we're not going to even look. And what we're doing is keep on supporting the very things that the church is supposed to be standing against. Y'all probably think I'm crazy, don't you? Let me read you something here, and then I'm gonna quit here. Just another 5 minutes, maybe. Because I want to tell you this idea, we might get more to it next week, was an idea of the separation of church and state, right? Let me tell you what that really means, separation of church and state. What our fathers meant by that is that the state would never interfere with your religion, which meant it was legal for you to practice your religion in the schools and in hospitals and in the Capitol buildings and in any state building, that the government would never overstep its bounds and say no. That's what the Constitution says. But they've interpreted the Constitution to say no. You cannot take your religious liberty there. You can't take it here. You can't take it there. And you think, well, that's crazy. They come up out of the Constitution and decided the Constitution said it's legal for women to kill little babies. Is that in the Constitution? But the Supreme Court got so far off case that they interpreted this Constitution and the Bill of Rights and says, you know what? It is legal for killing babies. Now that's out there. That's out there, isn't it? Well, thanks God that's been overturned. Let me read this to you here real quick. This is the Declaration of Independence. Maybe you haven't heard it in a while. I want to refresh this to you because this document right here was written because of the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And because these people wanted liberty. They wanted out from under the tyranny of England so that they could worship and praise God whenever and wherever they wanted. So this was written with this in mind. We, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident. There's a lot of truths here. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Doesn't say death. Doesn't say that you have the right to take another life. But you all have a right to life. Even the little babies that are just a speck in their mother's womb have a right, these same rights. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So the governments are instituted among men. What? Why? To institute these rights. Men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. It's right here, Declaration. Laying its foundation on such principles as organizing its powers in such form as to them shall most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object invents a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries, usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. And it goes on. I tell you these things again, that we might wake up from where this country is headed and do what we've been called to do, to speak what we've been called to speak, to be the church, to be the light, to be the salt. Or, as we read in Deuteronomy, we will perish. It's that simple. It is that simple. The America that we had so great a victory in World War II over, these things, millions and millions and millions of lives lost because of fascism, because of Nazism, because of those things. And here, 90 years later, we're doing the same thing again. And the church is doing nothing. The church is doing nothing about it. And for us, I say, it's time we got busy. So anyway, I'm gonna quit. Like I said, I'm gonna keep going on this because I wanna show you how these things came into being. Laws that were passed in the 60s that made it this way. And growing up in a culture that says separation of church and state. And what was meant by it. And how all these subtleties that came to us In the form of Christianity, but was all a lie to put us to the state where we are now. So I will quit with that.